Hi, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and this is one of our Syosset Stories episodes. We have a really cool guest today. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Hey, Jessica, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. So my name is Matt Grant. I'm a Syosset High School graduate, class of 2001. And right now, I'm currently an investigative reporter for the Fox affiliate in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That is absolutely awesome. Congratulations on all of that. So you graduated in 2001. I graduated in 97. So we were ships passing in the night. You were probably a freshman when I was a senior.
Yeah, so we were in the building at the same time, which is kind of cool to connect now.
Right. So tell us, first of all, so one of the things we like to do when we have Syosset people on, because it's always cool to see what path everybody took. Did you go through all of your schooling in Syosset?
I did, yeah. And Syosset is such an incredible school, and we have so many just famous and very successful alumni. So very cool to be doing this, because I've traveled in my career, I've traveled all over the country, and I've always looked back very fondly on Long Island and Syosset, and miss it really too. So my sister still lives in Queens. So any chance I have to go back to visit, I try to jump on that. But yeah, no, I did all my schooling, really just grew up in Syosset. I went to Berry Hill, went to Southwoods, and then Syosset High School.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm actually a Southwoods person as well. I went to Robbins Lane, Southwoods, and then obviously Syosset High School, which is where everybody eventually ends up. So that's very cool. So tell us a little bit about your journey to investigative reporting. Was it always something that you wanted to do, or did you sort of find yourself there later?
No. So I knew in high school that I was really kind of interested in radio. I was on the radio station all 4 years that I was there, WKWZ. I think that was the call letters.
Yes.
And really loved it. And actually, for a time, I thought I wanted to do radio. But I took a TV class with Jack DeMacy, who I cannot say enough good things about. The guy is incredible. We still stay in touch. And he was running a TV production course at the time. And I had so much fun doing it and learned so much from him that it really made me rethink whether I wanted to do radio as a career and maybe do something in TV. But I wasn't exactly sure like what that would be yet. I had an idea that it would be journalism because I was, you know, I'd done student newspaper and I was interested in it, but I wasn't sure if it would be a career or not. So I went to college at Marist in Poughkeepsie. And, you know, what is it like, far enough away that your parents can't always come to visit you, but close enough that
you can visit if you want to.
Yeah, but close enough to home that, you know, that you're still close to the island, into the city. So I went to Marist for communications. So kind of focused on radio, TV, film. And it was there that I did an internship at WNBC. And when I was there for a year, and really knew at that point, okay, I want to do journalism. So when I graduated college, the internship helped get me a job at News 12 The Bronx. And so I did that for a year as an assignment manager. And I worked the overnight shift. I was 4 a.m. to 1 or 2 p.m. And I would commute from the island into the Bronx every day. And it was a tough shift, but I learned so much there. Really learned how to find stories, how to tell stories, how to find story ideas. I mean, it really was a great training ground. And I had a lot of people there that I looked up to. Several of them have gone on to great things. And I asked them at the time, I said, you know, I really want to do reporting. Any chance I would get, I'd ask them, hey, can I go out into the field with you? I want to do what you're doing. And they all said, you really should go to grad school. So I applied to a couple different grad schools and I got into Columbia. And I picked Columbia because, you know, it's one of the best grad schools for journalism, and I got to stay in New York, which was a bonus. So I did that. The program was for a year, And then after I graduated from Columbia, my first on-air job was in Missouri, in the capital, Jefferson City. And I lived in Columbia, which was about 30 minutes away, college town, and kind of got my start there with investigative reporting. I was a general assignment reporter and covered basically, you know, whatever was going on, the cat stuck in the tree or the fire or whatever, you know, stoplight, the town gets its first stoplight or whatever. But there we started doing some investigative stuff. You know, I found out that the mayor was of this small town had been arrested for drunk driving, and we broke that story and I found out he was going to try to put out a fire or something. And I was like, this is interesting. So I was able to get my kind of my feet wet in investigative reporting there. And that's when I kind of figured out the more stories I started doing like that, the more I realized this is what I want to do. Quick, funny story when I was there. So Jeff City is like a pretty small town. If you're like a young single person, there really isn't a lot to do there. It's not like Columbia, where I was living. And so I'm there and I'm driving down and I see this this pizza place. And I'm, you know, keep in mind, I'm like homesick when I get there. When I drive by the station, it's on a farm. So I'm coming from New York City, living there, to now all of a sudden, like our station is literally on a farm. I mean, it was a big culture shock because I'd spent most of my life, all my life in New York.
Yeah.
And so when I'm out there, it's a culture shock. So I'm driving by and I see this pizza place and it says New York Pizza. And I'm like, I am home. I have found my people. And I go in there and I'm so excited. And I say to the guy, like, just give me a pie to go. And he looks at me and he's like, we don't serve dessert here.
Oh no.
And I'm like, no, a pie. I want a pie. He's like, yeah, we don't have dessert. I'm like, no, a pizza pie, like a pizza, a whole pizza.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, what do you want on it? And I'm like, nothing, just plain. And he's like, you don't want any cheese or tomato sauce?
Oh no, what?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is a New York pizza place. What is going on here?
So
everywhere I've been, I've always, it's the two things I miss most about Long Island. And whenever I'm back, I have to get it. It's pizza and bagels. Nowhere else in the country can do those two things like New York. And man, I miss it. You miss it. When you leave New York, you miss, there's a lot about New York that I miss, but the food, specifically the pizza and the bagels, I just have cravings for it.
So actually, now that you're saying that, if you don't mind, usually this comes later in the interview, but we have to ask if you have a preference of bagel place in the Syosset area.
Not even a question. It's Bagel Masters, which was right across from the Syosset Fire Department.
Yeah.
And it was next to the CVS, if it's still there. Yep. Yep. So that place, there was always a line and a wait, and it was 100% worth it. This is so good.
Oh,
I just
so
found
good.
Out actually, I think they'll actually mail you like there's some service, you know, where they'll freeze it and they can ship it to you. And I don't know if they do it. I thought I remember that they might. If they do, it's 100% worth it. I would definitely do it.
Yeah, their bagels are incredible. I actually get lunch there frequently, bragging a little bit, but
they're
really, really good bagels. And one of the things I love about it is it kind of looks almost exactly like it did back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Maybe even before that, but it's still got that sign that says Hot Bagels. And for the longest time, I actually thought it was called Hot Bagels. So I'd be like, oh, let's go to Hot Bagels. But no, it is Bagel Master. And the people who own it are amazing. And the bagels are fantastic.
Me too, because they had that big neon sign that said Hot Bagels,
Hot Bagels.
And I thought that's what it was called too. But then you realize, it's Bagel Master. Oh, anyway, it's so good.
So good. And pizza place? Do you have a preference of pizza place?
So we used to go to Cristiano's a lot, which was
right
by the train station. And I kind of found out, sadly, that they closed. But the rumor was that was the place that Billy Joel wrote Scenes from an Italian Restaurant about. But my family and I used to go there, and I always thought they had really good pizza.
Yeah, they did. It's kind of a shame that it ended up closing. It was a Syosset mainstay. And I know everybody liked to brag about that Billy Joel story. He certainly went there, and you know, there were pictures, there was his picture, and so Unfortunate, one of the things that changes in town, but
I know it's sad. Yeah. To Billy Joel's credit though, he never, as far as I know, I don't think he ever actually said which restaurant he wrote it about, because I think he thought the publicity for any of the places that might claim it was good, and I don't think he wanted to hurt any businesses.
I think you're right. From what I understand, and people from Syosset will probably fight me on this, and it could be Cristiano's, but what he did call out Cristiano's once when he was performing in the area, but I think it was kind of something that he liked to do. Like, he'd be performing in an area and he would call out to a local Italian restaurant for the reasons that you were saying. So, you know, it could be Cristiano's. It was definitely a place he was, but, you know, it could also be a different one. So
it's a mystery. I guess that's what makes the song kind of even more interesting for us Long Islanders, you know.
I just wanted to know what was up with Brenda and Eddie. I mean, like, they couldn't work it out. Oh, man.
They were going steady.
Yeah. So anyway, so getting back to it. So that's a pretty great just sort of story as to kind of how you found what you wanted to do. You got into investigative reporting, I guess, like post 9/11. Do you think it's changed a lot since then?
Yeah, so when I graduated, I mean, you know, 2001 was an interesting year because, I mean, we graduated and a couple months later was 9/11 and the world completely changed. Everything changed after that.
Yeah.
So that was a really tough year, especially just to start off college. And I mean, I remember watching it, you know, in my dorm room, and it was just unbelievable. But I didn't really start getting into the business until like 2004, 2005, when I started my internship. And then my first on-air job was in 2007. So I can kind of speak from an investigative reporting standpoint from when I started to now. And I don't know that it's changed all that much. I mean, the business has certainly changed because, I mean, when I started, Twitter didn't exist.
That's true.
And so I've really seen, from when I came into the business, I've really just seen, you know, how social media has taken over everything. Now, you know, nowadays when you're live on a scene or there's something, you know, important going on, a lot of the times you're going to break it on Twitter or on Facebook, or you're going to go on Facebook Live. Yeah. So social media has really opened up a lot of new avenues to reach people. But at, you know, the core of what we do, trying to uncover problems and shine a light in areas that need to be exposed, that hasn't changed. I mean, the core fundamentals of investigative journalism have always been strong. And there's some really good reporters out there doing really good work. And it just needs support. I mean, that's the thing is, unfortunately, across the board, you know, a lot of news organizations aren't bringing in a lot of money. And so there's not the funding and the resources to really put into investigative reporting because it takes time. Yeah. You know, there really is a drive to get stuff on the air quick and fast. And to do good investigative reporting, it takes time. And when you find a place that will give you that time to research and find these good stories, there are places like that out there, and there are a number of outlets that are doing really great work. And so I hope that continues.
Of course, for
my own journey, you know, after I left Missouri, I was in Florida for 6 years before I came here. And it was really between my time in Florida and Fort Myers in Orlando, and then, you know, now here in Charlotte, where I really sharpened my focus on investigative reporting. When I was down in Fort Myers, there was this state college down there that we got a tip on. They had hired the superintendent from the local school district, this college. They hired the superintendent on a golden parachute, who's a very controversial figure. And they hired him without any, they didn't put out a job search. They just hired this guy straight away. And so the original story we did was just kind of about that. And I have this approach, I call it like peeling back the onion. You know, you do the initial story, and then sometimes that story turns into something that you weren't expecting. Found out so many things about this college after that, because he kept getting tips, and found out that the president of the college was getting a Cadillac Escalade I found that it was paid for with people who donated to the college and checked off a box marked, you know, put this money towards area of the greatest need. Mm-hmm. And I went to buy him a Cadillac Escalade, found out that the nursing students were lied to about their program's accreditation status. 2 years after I started investigating with that one tip about the superintendent, the president and the vice president of the college were both fired from the school. And wow. After the 50th anniversary of the college actually changed its name. And when I asked them about that, it said because, you know, a spokesperson said, because of all the stories you've been doing, and other reporters then jumped on and started doing about us. So, you know, when I was in Fort Myers, I really was able to sharpen, you know, my focus and say, this investigative reporting is what I want to do. And when I was in Orlando, I got to cover the Pulse nightclub shooting and Hurricane Matthew and the opioid crisis. So I was able to do some breaking news, hard news, and continue with investigative, and then came here to Charlotte. And the story that I'm most proud of is one that changed federal law actually recently. They profiled this Green Beret, and he has terminal lung cancer. He went to the hospital at Fort Bragg and told him he couldn't breathe, that felt like he was drowning. He's a young guy, he's mid 30s, right?
Oh, wow, okay.
So totally unusual. So he goes in there, they tell him, you have pneumonia. They took x-rays and scans. They said, you have pneumonia. So, you know, weeks go by, month goes by, he goes back, he's like, something is wrong with me. I can't breathe. I'm having trouble breathing. It feels like I'm drowning. And basically what happened was, he ended up going to 6 months later, he ended up going off post. He went to see a civilian doctor, and the civilian doctor told him, no, you don't have pneumonia. You have what was now at the time is now stage four, but at the time was stage three lung cancer. Ooh. That had spread. So at the time when he should have been diagnosed, it wasn't stage three and could have been treated, we were told. So now he's stage four. The doctors had misdiagnosed him, but because of this Supreme Court decision from 70 years ago, he and his family, his name Sergeant First Class Richard Stayskull, he and his family have no recourse, nothing they can do. The Supreme Court decision known as the Ferris Doctrine prevents any action, any lawsuit against the doctors who told him that he had pneumonia, when they should have told him he had lung cancer.
Yeah.
It's medical malpractice. And if you or I, if that happened to us, we could sue the doctor who misdiagnosed us. But because he was an active duty soldier at the time, he can't do anything. So we broke the story. It actually made national news. And I reached out to a bunch of lawmakers after this happened. And I said, you know, what can be done to help soldiers like Rich? And got a couple lawmakers. And actually what I was really proud of was I was able to find and get bipartisan lawmakers. So we had a really conservative congressman here in North Carolina and Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who's a liberal Democrat out in California. When you talk opposite ends of the spectrum, I mean, it's not even, I mean, you know, on the party wise, but also on the country, North Carolina and South Carolina.
Right.
I mean, they are literally as far apart as you can be. And they came together on a bill that then became law.
That's incredible.
That gave the Department of Defense $500 million to investigate internally and pay out medical malpractice claims. It's something that's never happened before. And our stories did that. So I just won an Emmy for that. But it's not the award, it's the change that we were able to help enact for our troops and our soldiers. And that's what drives me. And that's what means more to me than anything is our ability to help other people. And that's why I keep doing this.
That's really great. It's interesting because I think that is the heart of investigative reporting. You know, like you hear a lot about people who are like, oh, you know, you're looking for a gotcha story, but you're really looking to expose something and bring truth to light and improve a situation. And for something like that, I mean, that just blows my mind, that whole story. So as how long did that unfold over?
You know, bouncing off of that, my philosophy is I always want to go somewhere and leave it better than where I found it, you know, and if I can help in any way, that's the goal. And that story, it was so fast, actually, I couldn't believe it. We did the story in, I think it was October of 2018. Mm-hmm. Richard was testifying on Capitol Hill the following summer. So there was a bill, I think it was around June or July of 2019, and it was signed into law in December of 2019, and it took effect January 1st of 2020.
Wow.
So, and we're still covering it because the Department of Defense is stalling on this. So while it is law, they haven't investigated or paid out a single claim more than a year later. Mm-hmm. So we're still pushing them for answers and there's still work to be done. But that's the goal, is to try to shine a light onto areas that need exposed, and to try to help people where we can.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. And of course the Emmy as well. I know you've won a few Emmys yourself.
I've won 5, but I don't do this recognition or the awards. No.
Right. No, not at all. It's impressive that, again, you know, just thinking back to how many people from Syosset have sort of found the drive to become, you know, do all of these different amazing things. It's always very interesting, you know, like you'll hear like, oh, well, this person, yeah, they went to Syosset, that person, they went to Syosset. Everybody we ask this has kind of a similar and different answer to it, but can you think of anything just kind of specifically about maybe the schooling or the just in general that you think fosters people to reach higher?
There's something in the water that
produces, that makes the bagels. You eat bagels Bagel Master too.
Yes, there's something in the water that makes excellent bagels and has produced some really outstanding graduates. I think the school system is so good. Not only did it prepare me for college, but it prepared me for grad school. I mean, the education that we got, the teachers, I remember a lot of the teachers that I had, even going back to elementary school, Ms. Laviani, who was my first grade teacher. And I still look back and say, you know, what a profound impact she had on my life. Jack DeMacy in high school with TV production. We just had teachers who really cared about their students. And I think they really nurtured gifts. If they saw something in you, I think there was really an effort to nurture that. I mean, I remember in high school when I took an interest, or in middle school, when I took an interest in journalism, you know, they reached out to me and said, hey, did you ever think about being on the student newspaper? You know, we want you to do that. In high school, it was, oh, you're interested in radio. Well, why don't you join the radio club and we can get you on with that. Which, by the way, the fact that Syosset High School had a radio station, like an actual radio station that had a really great signal. I mean, we were afforded a lot of opportunities there, and a working TV station, a TV studio. I mean, we had so much opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jack in general, just his whole, aside from the fact that he's amazing and he was just a really great, enthusiastic teacher, just what they kind of gave him, they're like, okay, you know, we're hiring you for this, make a TV studio. You know, I didn't realize myself until I left the area just how unique and how much of a privilege that was. You know, I went to college and I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, the TV production studio, and people would be like, the what now? Because I mean, where else are you going to find that? It's crazy.
Jack is incredible. If it's okay, if I can, like, at this point, maybe I can call him Jack. I just still think of him as Mr. DeMacy.
It's so funny, though, because he always wanted you to call him Jack. And I always felt weird about it myself. I was like, Jack DeMacy. Like, I'd have to say his whole name.
I know.
It seemed weird to call him just Jack.
I know, it did. But he was so cool. I mean, he felt like more like he was your buddy even in high school than he was like a teacher. I mean, he was a mentor. He was just cool, made the funniest jokes, but he pushed you to do your best work. I mean, this wasn't a class where you would, eat popcorn and slack off. I mean, he pushed you to do to be creative, to really do your best. You know, I learned how to edit there. I learned how to shoot video there. I remember we made a music video there.
That was one of his assignments. Yes, to make a music video. Yeah.
And there was a band on Long Island called Spider Nick and the Mad Dogs, who they were a ska band, and I loved them. And he was actually friends with the singer, and he had connected me with the band, and through Jack, I was able to interview them on the radio show. And at the time, I thought I still think this is one of the coolest things. But I definitely did at the time, and I made a music video to their song. I mean, it was just such a fun break from the rest of school, because it was so hard. Math and science were never my strong suits. It was always English, writing, history. You know, I love to read. I remember going to the library when it was one floor. I used to go there all the time with my parents. You know, we'd rent movies there, rent books there. I mean, I almost lived there. I mean, I spent a lot of time there because I read a lot as a kid. And just had a lot of really fond memories there. But yeah, Jack always pushed us to do the best we could. And really, I got my interest in TV from Jack. I don't know if Syosset didn't have a TV station, I don't know that I'd be doing what I'm doing today. So I really think back on that and think, you know, if it wasn't for Jack, if it wasn't for that TV station, would I be here talking to you today? And honestly, I don't know. I don't think so.
I could say for myself, because it's very like weird to me sometimes now that I spend so much time doing editing for the podcast, but I think back to that assignment where Jack taught you how to edit video, and I'm like, oh yeah, I did learn a thing or two in that. Of course, the process is totally different than it was then. But, one thing I think, because many people who come on a Syosset Stories episode sing Jack's praises. But one of the things I think that's important to note is that not only was he like, he was a teacher, he was a friend, a mentor, but he was very good at, keeping like with boundaries. Like, he wasn't like one of those like teachers who was like, I just want to be friends with all the students. He was very good at being like, I'm a teacher, but here's how our relationship is going to differ with what I'm teaching you and how I'm teaching you. And that was just so appreciated.
He really knew the perfect line and handled that class perfectly.
Absolutely.
He really knew. Yes, exactly to your point. He was a teacher, but he was a different kind of teacher.
He was like the teacher that I feel like, and of course I'm going to, another Syosset person, he's like, like the teacher that somebody like Judd Apatow would write about in, like a Freaks and Geeks X show. And you'd be like, yeah, but that type of teacher doesn't exist. But you're like, but it did, because that was Jack.
Yeah. Anyone who had a class with him was incredibly fortunate and lucky, in my opinion. I certainly was.
Well, you should be very just proud of yourself in general as to what you've done and how much you've accomplished. I mean, I know Syosset certainly is. So speaking of breaking news, I hear there is some breaking news for yourself and your career coming up.
Yeah. So starting mid-June, I'm going to be, it's bittersweet. I'm going to be leaving Charlotte. And I'm going to be joining the NBC affiliate in Austin, Texas, KXAN. They have just an incredible investigative team they win a ton of national awards because they really do big projects. And I'm just so excited to be a part of their team and to join them. So you'll have to keep watching for what we do down there, but I can't wait. I've never been to Austin, but I've heard great things about the city, and the work that they do there is really, it's when we talk about investigative reporting, and a lot of the time stations just don't have the time or the resources to invest. This is one of those places that makes it a priority. Investigative reporting is actually in their branding. So, and it's in their DNA. And so I can't wait.
Awesome. That sounds amazing. And I've heard that Austin, Texas has good food, but I cannot speak to their New York style pizza or their bagels.
Nothing compares to New York style pizza or bagels, but I hear they have very good Tex-Mex and tacos. And so I will definitely take that.
Yeah. If you're a barbecue person, I hear that their barbecue is pretty decent as well.
I definitely am. And I'm excited to try that as well too.
So before we go, we did get your favorite bagel place, and we talked about pizza. Syosset Diners, did you have one that you were partial to?
Yeah, I'd say Celebrity was a good one. But that was, you know, when you look back on our Syosset days, that was a big chunk of our time was you're going to go to the diner, or you're going to go to Bagel Boss and hang out there, or the Broadway Mall. I mean, yeah, there was always the staples, but yeah, Celebrity Diner, I was always partial to.
Yeah, Celebrity was my diner as well. I'm never really sure if that was sort of regional to like where your home was, or just, it just happened to be that most of your friends preferred one to the other. Although no shade to On Parade, because On Parade is also very
On
good.
On Parade,
it was, yeah, also New York diners in general are amazing.
They are.
Yeah.
And the delis too. I mean, you know, okay, so I've lived in Missouri and Florida, and now I'm going to go to Texas, and just, I've traveled around the country. Nobody does that like New York. I mean, just to walk into a deli and just get like a really good pastrami sandwich, or just a really good bagel and a really good pizza. I've chased it everywhere I go, and you can't find it. I mean, New York really has the best of everything. Food, of course. But it's something that I've always missed, you know, but it's nice because when I always think of New York and Long Island as home. You know, I'm an Islanders fan. I used to go to games when I was a kid, and I always, you know, wear my New York Yankees hat, and I always carry my New York pride with me wherever I go. But it's always really nice to go back home. I still think of it as home, visit my sister. And then when I go back there and I can get like a bagel or a pizza, or, you know, go into the city or go back onto the island, it's nice because I don't get to do it a lot. So it really feels special, and it really feels like I'm coming back home. So I cherish the time that I get to go back there.
Now I'm hungry.
Me too.
Probably all of the listeners are hungry as well. Well, if you're a Syosset person, go grab a bagel from Bagel Master and salute Matt Grant. you know what, I was going to ask if you're on social media, but you're probably going to be changing by the time.
Yeah, I'll probably be changing my Twitter handle. It will all my social media will most likely change to @MattGrantKXAN.
Okay, I won't put it on then because we don't know yet.
Yeah,
okay, that's fine.
Probably what it'll be. But if your listeners want to find me, they can search Matt Grant KXAN, and I'm sure I'll pop up.
Excellent. I'll use that as a soundbite to sort of get that in. All right. Well, we are very grateful that you took the time to chat with us about this, and we wish you even more success and luck, and that you continue to leave the world a better place as your investigations continue. I said
thank
continue
so
more
much
than once.
Thank you so much, Jessica. This was, it's an honor to be on your program, and just wanted to thank you so much for having me. And let me think of something else. Scratch this.
I was
going somewhere and I lost my train of thought. Let me start again.
Sure.
just thank you so much, Jessica, for having me. It's just an honor to be on your program, and just wanted to thank you so much. And to your listeners, just, you know, you live in a special place. Syosset really is a special town, and I miss it. And honestly, I wouldn't be where I am today had it not been for Syosset. So I'm just incredibly grateful for the community that helped raise me and a community that I'll always consider home.
Thank you very, very much. And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.